Well, Mr. President-elect and former president,
thank you,
Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having a, like we said, smooth transition. Do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, what you need. And we're going to get a chance to talk about some of that today.
So good.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. And politics is tough. And it's, in many cases, not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate it very much.
Gosh, guys, I got
a transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get, and I very much appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I got warm fuzzies! It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this very first hour. What you just heard... And I got a lot of breaking news right now. That was Trump meeting with Joe Biden in the Oval Office. And it's they're meeting there in the Oval Office. They're that fire's out of control, by the way. it's a little out of control. If you the noise that you heard was literally the fire. It was literally the fire. So huge, huge, huge. They're meeting today. More press there than ever. We also have an update in the Senate majority race. Senator John Thune was just elected Republican Senate Majority Leader. He is just elected. He was just elected. And this is, I'm telling you, we're going to talk all about this because a lot of people are mad. Look, I'm telling you, I am one of those that hated everybody. And everyone's like, well, you don't like our rhino, so you must like one of the rhinos. No, let me explain. I hate all of them. And I mean, like, politically hate. I'm sure they're nice people. I met Cornyn once at some event. It was like some congressional event. And I met him one time. And then he's been on the show before because I grilled him about red flag law. And we had a nice disagreement about that. And it's still up on YouTube if you want to go find it. I think I did link it in a newsletter. So Thune is the majority leader now. Rick Scott was knocked off the first round of voting. He had the least support. And then it went between Thune and Cornyn, and then it's Thune. I got to tell you, I'm actually a little surprised that Thune won. He is a super moderate. I mean, go look at his record. If you had a record, if you had a grade, like if your GPA was what John Thune's conservative record is, you would be on academic probation. He's mega moderate. And I've laid out my dislikes of all of them. I thought, because I'm not a fan of all of them, and I told you, Scott, the reason I criticized Scott so much is because I've never criticized him. I mean, I did after Parkland when he signed that gun control stuff in a law. I did criticize him then, but in the context of Senate leadership, he's never like stepped up to give me a reason to go after him. So I was really focusing on him because I've criticized some of these other cats 6 ways to Sunday. Is there anything left for me to go at with John Cornyn? I don't think so. Like, I don't think there is. I mean, I have like diced and sliced this dude and Thune even with a lot of his bad votes. So as Kane says, you think it's an opportunity for him to be less moderate.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for him to prove his, you know, dedication, the oath of office to the Constitution.
Was there a requirement that all three had to be like 6'1,000?
Right.
I do have that question. Were they all supposed to be like really tall? I don't know. And the reason because they're all huge. They're all like these huge people. So that's the latest in all of this, the Senate Majority Leader race. And it is, I actually was a little surprised that it was Thune. Not because, and again, millionth time, I didn't like any of them, but I'm surprised that it was Thune. Because Cornyn, so all three of these people are McConnell cronies. They're all McConnell cronies. And Cornyn, I thought, was one of the closer McConnell cronies, you know? I thought he was like one of the closer ones. So it's interesting. And this will be interesting to see how this goes. Can we play this audio of, it was Chuck Schumer who, audio soundbite 3. You're going to get a little mad over this, but I need you to listen to this audio. Chuck Schumer is asking Republicans to go easy on them. Not kidding. Listen.
Now let me turn to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Another closely contested election now comes to an end. To my Republican colleagues,
how was that closely contested?
I offer a word of caution in good faith. Take care not to misread the will of the people, and do not abandon the need for bipartisanship. After winning an election, the temptation may be to go to the extreme. We've seen that happen over the decades, and it's consistently backfired on the party in power. So instead of going to the extremes, I remind my colleagues that this body is most effective when it's bipartisan.
No, Juan's laughing. No, and no, just in case there was any confusion. No, he doesn't get to call for bipartisanship. He doesn't get to call for bipartisanship. No. We're not doing that. And why? Because you guys remember all the stuff they did? Let's go back a little bit. In case anyone forgot, all the stuff that they pulled on the American people. You had the amnesty, you had the free college tuition, you had them shutting down people's businesses, Ukraine, stopping all of our except on privately leased land, domestic production, reducing those permits so that you were getting the bare minimum off of publicly leased land, all kinds of stuff. Kavanaugh, like him leading the charge against Kavanaugh, him wanting to pack the Supreme Court, him wanting to get rid of the filibuster. Hell no. No. You don't get to now call for bipartisanship. We're not doing that. I don't feel like being generous because voters have been kicked down and abused for so long. You deserve to demand nothing short of what you are owed. Cannot enforce this enough. I feel like voters are afraid to ask what they're owed. Please, I feel like we got to have like a come to Jesus moment with all the voters, with everybody out there watching, to get you comfortable with the idea of demanding what you're owed as a voter. You demand good leadership. You demand you deserve constitutionalists. You deserve to not have to compromise even after you've won. That ship sailed. So there we have it. I telling you, this is pretty wild that they're asking for some. They want you to go easy on them. They want Republicans to go easy on them. No, not going to go easy on them. Filibusters protect. By the way, they love the filibuster now. I don't know if you saw this. It came out in my prep last night. This morning. They love, Democrats are, they're really into the filibuster right now. I know they, Kane was like, I'm sorry, excuse me. Yeah. No, they really are. They like it now. Here's a piece from Seattle Times. Quote, with Trump set to take power, Jaya Paul backtracks on ending the filibuster. She's not the only one. There are some other Democrats out there that are really into protecting the filibuster now. She goes, quote, am I championing getting rid of the filibuster now when the Senate has the trifecta? No. So then you never supported getting rid of the filibuster. If they still don't support getting rid of the filibuster, then they never supported getting rid of the filibuster. You can't, it's, principle is a principle because you support it even when you're not winning. You support it even when you're not in control of the House or the Senate or the White House. This goes to show you that they never really supported ending the filibuster. They only supported ending the filibuster when they were in control because this was about empowering them. This wasn't about the filibuster. This was about them having control, them controlling everything, them having the ability to run roughshod over Americans. That's what this was about. So it's you can't claim to support something or to have a principle if you're now not going to support it because you're a party minority. It's not how this works. You knew this would happen, though. You knew that they were going to love that filibuster the moment they lost power. You knew it. So it's very telling, don't you think so? So now, while all of this has been happening, you've had Trump in the White House meeting with Joe Biden and that roaring fire. It was left to be very, that fire was loud, dude. Like, who was it that decided, you know what, let's put another 110 logs on this? Were they trying to set them on fire? So, met with President Biden. They're sitting there in front of the roaring fire. And it seemed like a very nice, you know, this was the time, by the way, that Melania Trump, they were trying to say she was supposed to have tea with Jill Biden, but then she didn't want to have tea with Jill Biden. And we talked about this yesterday. I don't blame her. I don't blame her. But they're there in the Oval Office. It was very limited. The reporters went crazy after. And the reporters, as Kane noted, when we were on break before we started the program, they're all out there acting like these are two Martians inside. They act like this is something that's never, I mean, it's a big deal. You know, you have the peaceful transfer of power. But it's very interesting to watch the way that the media has been acting over this. They were screaming questions. They were losing their minds. It was quite interesting. So this is what they're doing today. Chuck Schumer was talking to the Senate beforehand. Then you had the Senate majority vote, if you're just joining. So now it's John Thune. We're going to look at what we're going to get with a John Thune here coming up. And then we have a bunch more cabinet picks from the president. Last night, we had a sales dinner last night. And we were talking with some good friends of ours and some, people who helped bring you the program. And all these picks were coming in while all this was happening. And was like Pete Hegseth, which we're going to talk about, which I think is a good move. I think that's a good pick. I'm fine, totally fine with that pick. The left is apoplectic over it because they're like, oh, he's on TV and Reagan was an actor. Shut up. We're going to get into all of that. But some of the picks that have been confirmed, some yet still to be confirmed. We're going to go through all the latest. Lorraine has a piece up at Substack right now, giving you the current tally. We're going to go through all of that. We are going to get into, oh boy, a lot of the response from the left. Elizabeth Warren is at her limit. She's super angry. She says the Trump transition team is already breaking the law. We're going to dive into that. We got a lot to hit as we move our partners over at Tax Network USA. The government theft agency wants your money because they got to spend it all more on people crossing the border illegally and sending money for pensions in Ukraine. So you need to help the IRS out. Just go ahead and give them everything. Oh, maybe you don't want to do that. Or maybe you're so stressed out because the IRS is so aggressive and they make it hard for you to do it because it's a Rube Goldberg machine of trying to comply that you need experts like Tax Network USA. So let me tell you, Tax Network USA, they have consultants. They have people who do this every single day, skilled pros that will get you the best resolution for your tax issues so you get the most favorable outcome. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, whether it's for personal or business, they got the tools and experience to handle any situation. Whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income, they have tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. They you know what? They file over 10,000 returns and has saved $1 billion. Their people, $1 billion from the IRS. So don't wait. Visit TNUSA.com/Dana. Call 1-800-958-1000. Get your free consultation. Their experts will walk you through some simple questions to see how much you save. Act now, though. That's TNUSA.com/Dana. 1-800-958-1000.
As soon as Trump got elected, liberal cities tightened up. After Trump won, Eric Adams stopped giving cash to migrants. A six-person household was receiving $1,700 a week, while American families ravaged by hurricanes were receiving a $750 FEMA check. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, let's see. Where do we, because there's a lot of news. There is a lot of news. There was, we got a news on the economy because we've got some economic headlines out today. They're saying that it's a ticking time bomb and that this, I don't know if I can say that. One of the headlines was Trump is inheriting a blank of an economy. And it's a former Wall Street money manager, Ed Dowd, who's warning everybody of this. I like, why are you looking at me like that? Yeah. I mean, it's almost like we said, Kane, that was going to happen. It's almost like we said. One of the things we're talking about later today is Harris's campaign donated $500,000 to Al Sharpton's nonprofit the day before her softball interview with him on MSNBC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we knew that. We knew it was going to happen. This is interesting. Russian spy whale. What? Yes. A Russian spy whale recovered a girl's phone from the sea and brought it back to her after she dropped it in the water in front of a stunned crowd as a mystery of how it arrived in Norway was solved. It is a white beluga whale. The locals named it Hvaldimir. That, okay. And it was suspected of being a spy. The whale, after it appeared off the coast of Norway wearing a harness in 2019. Now, they think the whale, which was found dead in September, they said it belonged. I love the sentence. It did belong to the Russian military, but escaped because it was a hooligan. Everything about this story is hysterical. So they saw how the whale was kind of tame and it would approach the boat full of people like that went out to watch it. It passed and then it gave literally a woman dropped her phone and she and there's video of this whale with the phone in its mouth and it broke the surface and handed it back to her. Now I would like a beluga whale. I have no idea where I'm going to put it. No idea. No clue. Let's see. So for Thanksgiving, they're trying to tell you do not wrap gifts before you fly. That's TSA apparently is trying to get everyone out. Like this holiday season, don't for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, do not wrap your gifts before you fly. And just check and make sure that you can fly with it. If it's like a food item, etc. Just, you know, I didn't realize that apparently people, they will unwrap your gift. That's stupid. Why do you have all the x-ray stuff there then in the first place? That's so goofy. And Dr. Fauci received $15 million in taxpayer funds for his private security detail, according to a new report. All this money. We're going to talk about the cabinet picks coming up. All the latest news. A lot of breaking news today. Stick with us. Patriot Mobile puts the momentum and their money behind the issues you vote to protect. And you can take advantage of their lower costs because you can get a plan tailor-made for you and it's affordable. Take advantage of their Every Friday Matters special. So for a limited time, Patriot Mobile is giving away a brand new smartphone when you switch your service. So you can get high quality service and you can support a company that aligns with your values and support the creation and maintenance of U.S. jobs because their customer service team is 100% U.S. based. But you can get access to all three major networks. You get the same reliable coverage as all the big providers and it's exceptional coverage. And switch, support what matters. And it's seamless switching, by the way. I mean, it's so it takes a second. I'm not even joking. It's so fast. Switch today, save yourself money, and get a free smartphone. Offer is eligible only using promo code Friday. It's a limited time offer or until supplies run out, whichever comes first. Terms and conditions apply. So join me. I've already made the switch over a decade ago. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972Patriot.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Such an iconic intro with Queen. Another one bites the dust. Such an iconic intro. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. So it is not Rick Scott who's going to be Senate Majority Leader. It's the other swamp rat, John Thune. I mean, and you knew you were going to get one of them because this is what the establishment picked for you. I mean, obviously, I had issues with Rick Scott. I had issues with all of them, but I had particular issue with Rick Scott because of a lot of the gun control stuff that he pushed. So I honestly don't think that he had the support. And I think people were very misled in trying to get him the support. And one of the problems, and let me explain this before we get in these cabinet picks. One of the problems with somebody like Rick Scott, and honestly, I really do believe that this is why Trump didn't intervene. I don't think that Trump intervened because he is aware, even though Scott was kissing his butt and going on this PR offensive as a way to protect himself, Rick Scott can't lead. He is a bad leader. I mean, I don't know if you read any of the stuff that I had over at Substack, and there was quite a lot of it. How he frittered away. You wouldn't have J.D. Vance. What makes me madder is I have to give some kind of credit to Mitch McConnell and I don't want to. It makes me aggravated because I don't like say no. Well, he did. But you would not have J.D. Vance right now as vice president because he would not have won his Senate seat had McConnell with his money bags stepped in and saved that seat, because in the 11th hour, when they were trying to compete with ad buys and all this other stuff, they couldn't because Rick Scott had blown through all their money. Remember this, as at NRSC, National Republican Senatorial Committee, if you remember, when he ran that back in 22, he ended up losing seats for us. He lost seats, and he ended up, one of those seats that he almost lost was Vance's. I mean, check this. It was this one of McConnell's money bag packs. They had to bail out Rick Scott because Rick Scott had to pull money out of Pennsylvania, Nevada, and North Carolina because they were broke. He went through over $181 million in an election period. And part of that, when they were looking at what he spent the money on, he was promoting his own little Rick Scott GOP principles. He was trying to stage a coup, Rick Scott was. So he was promoting his own self, and he was promoting, they were doing some kind of like digital experimentation. They had nothing. And as a result, they were pulling money out of Ohio and Pennsylvania and Nevada. And that's where, I mean, those were the three key races. And this was back during 2022. And they had to call for help. So McConnell came in with his money bags. Rick Scott cut a deal with him. And then they bailed out the NRSC, and then they dumped over $33 million into Ohio, and they saved Vance's campaign. That was coming into the last stretch. Remember, there was a lot of fighting over that. If you think back, do you remember all the fighting that there was over why aren't you spending money here and money there? And a lot of people were mad at the McConnell PAC, but it was the NRSC that was supposed to do it because Rick Scott spent all their money. So he had to cut a deal with McConnell to have McConnell's fundraising group bail him out. Not only that, but Scott just does not know the parliamentary procedure that you need to know in order to shepherd stuff through the Senate. And that is why I think that Trump didn't come out for him. Because look, you all know that if Trump wants to come out for somebody, he's going to come out. You're not going to tell him to stay out of the race. All of this, like there was a piece of Politico that I read where it said, oh, senators are telling Trump, don't weigh in. He doesn't give a fig about that. He is going to get into it if he wants to get into it. But he didn't get into it, and he didn't come out for Scott because he knows this. He was sitting back watching. He's looking at this like, okay, well, at least of the rats, who at least understand some of the procedures to get my judicial nominees confirmed and my cabinet members and all this other stuff? Because you got to think, they got to handle all of that. And Rick Scott was already under a lot of criticism because he goes to the Senate, he doesn't do anything. He wasn't doing anything, and he can't do it because he doesn't know how to do it, and I don't think he wants to know. So I think that's why Trump didn't weigh into this, because of that. He knew what he was doing. He knew, and he wasn't going to get played like that. I also think that the other reason, and it almost felt like when I was watching some of these people lobby so hard for Scott and beg Trump to get involved, I was thinking, and some of them were like these new accounts on social media. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm like, are these plants? And here's why I thought that. Scott didn't have a lot of support because he's just incompetent. Why would you want POTUS to come out and his first act get behind a failing Senate leader wannabe? Why would you have that as his first thing? Like, you're going to start off backing a guy who is very unpopular with his own party because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That's not a good look. And that's another thing I think that Trump realized. So you ended up, they were all three rats, but there was a reason I think that Trump stayed out of it. And J.D. Vance didn't tell anybody what he's doing either. They were asking J.D. Vance, he was at the Senate today, and he showed up to cast his vote in leadership, and they had the media in the halls, and they were asking him, and he wouldn't answer them. There's a reason why he didn't weigh in either. Just FYI. I mean, people need to kind of, let's read between the lines a little bit. So it's that's a big deal. So yeah, you wouldn't, if Rick Scott almost tanked J.D. Vance for us, just so you know. Feel free to go to Substack and look at all the receipts, all of it's linked, and you can go and see how the money was allocated publicly because of how they have to file. You don't have to take my word for it. Go and look at the receipts that are up on my newsletter. They speak for me. They speak better than anything I could say. Now, cabinet picks. The media is apoplectic Why are they apoplectic? Because you need to follow, speaking of being at the newsletter, you need to check out Lorraine's piece up there because we've got the latest with the draft picks. It's like he's drafting his team. Like, it's like fantasy football. So Pete Hegseth comes out. Trump announced last night that that's his pick for DOD. And people are livid. They are livid. Elizabeth Warren came out and they are very upset. She was very upset. She tweeted, and I thought this was incredibly dismissive because he's a double Bronze Star medal recipient. She wrote, quote, "A Fox and Friends weekend co-host is not qualified to be the Secretary of Defense. I lead the Senate Military Personnel Panel. All three of my brothers served in uniform." Oh, well, then you're just a veteran yourself then, huh, Liz? Because your brother serves, so you can co-opt and appropriate and cosplay with their service. She added, "I respect every one of our service members. Trump's pick will make us less safe and must be rejected." Okay, first off, how dare you dismiss a double Bronze Star recipient? How dare you? He got a degree from Harvard. He's worked with think tanks. He understands policy better than she does. And she has the audacity to call his credentials under the carpet this fake A double snakes wannabe Native American who lied to everyone about her ethnicity so she could get ahead. What the joke going around is, well, what was Poot Buttigieg's qualification to be Secretary of Transportation? He liked trains. That's it.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. He liked trains. Oh. Because if you remember, Secretary Buttigieg, you know, he was not only mayor of South Bend, but he was the rear vice admiral at the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy-Tonka. If you guys remember. I'm going to miss saying that. But he's a double Bronze Star recipient. I mean, he's actually accomplished stuff, and she's mad at him. He's a literal combat veteran. He served overseas, the places where they want to send all of our loved ones to war. He served over there. He knows the lay of the land. I think it's great. I think it's a great choice. The Deep State and War Inc. are going to be mad. Cope and Seed, I don't care. So I think this is a really good choice. I was pleased with it. And they're trying to say, well, he's on television. Reagan was an actor. I like what, what's his face? Jennings over in CNN, audio soundbite 9. This was, I thought, a really good soundbite. Listen to this.
Anyone have confidence in the current leadership of the Pentagon and the way the defense situation has been operating for the last several years? I mean, from the Afghanistan pullout, which was an extreme debacle for which no one was held accountable. We've had spy balloons flying over the United States. We built a $300 million pier as a public relations stunt, which wound up killing an American service member. Yep. I'd say I've had just about enough of the so-called insiders running the Defense Department. I think we ought to give Pete Hegseth a chance. All the criticism of him is that he's not the expected Washington pick. And I'm just saying to you that the American people just voted against the expected Washington pick. So he's got 20 years in service, Afghanistan, Iraq, 2 Bronze Stars, Princeton, Harvard. Yeah, he's on TV, but so are the rest of us.
That's a great point. He's right. He's right. He's absolutely right. Scott Jennings nailed it. I like his last line. He's like, you know, yeah, he's on TV. So are all of us. Yeah, exactly. So the other confirmation that came out for one of his other confirmed picks is Kristi Noem for DHS. And I don't get this one. I really do not get it. And I'm happy with the other ones, the other picks that, you know, that he's got, but I don't understand this one. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I don't know what qualifications she has. I don't know why you wouldn't have Tom Homan. I mean, Tom Homan's going to be border czar. Why wouldn't he just head up DHS? I mean, I just want to remind, Noem was a really moderate governor. And when Trump nixed the forced acceptance of refugees, and these were the Afghan refugees, these were the unvetted refugees, not like military assets, but unvetted refugees coming in from Afghanistan. Trump had nixed the program that was requiring states to take them. And instead, he made it an opt-in program. And Kristi Noem opted in to receive them. So that's a kind of a question. She did not. The only reason that her state didn't close during COVID, that they didn't lock down, was because her more Republican legislature blocked her. She actually was pushing to do it. And that's, you know, her own Republican legislature blocked her. And then she backed pro-trans policies. The Federalist, which is a super pro-Trump website, they've taken her down six ways to Sunday on some of this stuff because they were very disappointed with her governorship. I mean, she was moderate when she was in the House, and her gubernatorial record reflects it. And I just think some of these people are only players because they're good butt kissers. But you got to be really careful with that, because this obsequious behavior, it's not loyalty, nor is it submission. It's ambition. And you have to be wary, because there are a list of people previously from 2016 who did the same thing. They butt kissed. And then what happened? They knew exactly where to stick the shiv, rhetorically speaking, and twist it. You have a list of people who some argue betrayed the former, now president-elect. And you got to be careful with those people. When they're out for ambition, they're not out for you. They're not out for your agenda. And so that's one of the other, I'm like, eh. But I don't know what credentials she has. A DHS needs to be entirely obliterated. I think that Tom Homan was best. Now, my other thought is that they didn't have Tom Homan as DHS secretary, maybe because they felt that he couldn't get confirmed. So is she just like the figurehead for it and he's the real muscle? I don't know. There are some other ones that they announced as well. We're going to get into all of those here coming up. But we got CIA director to talk about. We got the special envoy to the Middle East. We're going to get into all of that. Partners at ReadyWise want to make sure that you're always ready, because you never know what's going to happen. After we had the big ice storm, I had some survival food and I had a prepper pantry. But then I just added a whole bunch to it. And I liked ReadyWise because I knew the chain of command. They have U.S. ingredients and it's packed in a U.S. plant. It's state of the art and it's premium survival food. And I'm going to be honest, I want premium, okay? I want some premium survival food. And it actually doesn't taste like cardboard. So that's a huge plus. I'm not going to lie. Some of this other stuff does, but not at ReadyWise. I know that's not like you're at top of mind when you're cracking one open because everything went sideways and you and your family are just trying to survive. But you know what? It can be comfort in a crisis and beyond, and it's super affordable. Right now, they have their two-bucket bundle. It's a 120 servings for you can get this emergency 1 month supply. It's a two bucket bundle. You get vegetable buckets, freeze-dried fruit buckets. There's all kinds of buckets to pick from, and they make it easy to be prepared. It's simple to stock up. It's simple to figure out what you need for your pantry. And they are all of their food supplies, like the three month emergency food supply, it's all designed by their team. They literally have in-house culinary experts to make sure that you're getting your nutritional needs met. Everything perfect for emergencies, even camping trips. 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout and get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You cannot be goth or punk and conservative. Granted, you can be alternative and conservative, but then you're only alternative within your own ranks. You're just cosplaying. Being a goth and being a punk is not about the clothes. It is about your ideologies and who you are as a person here and here. And if here and here are blinded and blocked by Zionism, by nationalism, by conservatism, then you're just that, blind.
I want to kick his ass. Who's this chode that's up there sitting here lecturing all of us, like who is and who can't, who is goth and who isn't, and who is punk and who isn't? That's the most unpunk thing I've ever seen in my life, is some princess with his beard dyed orange who looks like a Hot Topic reject and his, you know, trendy half mullet haircut girlfriend with her dyed locks, and they're lecturing people in the most unpunk fashion. as to who can be. They couldn't even define goth if they wanted to. They couldn't tell me the difference between goth and emo if they tried. I bet they don't even know who the Dickies are. Stop it. Not even going to talk. I ain't not. This is, oh man, Kane. Those are the type of people I would bully. Yeah. Like in school, cosplayers. Yeah. And I'm not even doing that. I'm not even going to do that with you people. It's not about clothes. For you, it is, princess. I mean, look at you. Guy with his beard dyed like that. It's the, to sit here and go, you're not a gatekeeper for this, number one. You it, and they put on the costume of it. You don't have to wear, go and get the chain wallets that make everyone think you lost your dog. Or wear the giant, what are those, the Junko jeans? Right? You don't have to go and get the, it is more than that. It's a style. It is a style as much as it is an ethos. A word that he probably can't define. Is he, you know, Kane, does that guy look punk or alternative? He would get beat up in the absolutely. Punk clubs that we went to in our youth. He would get beat up.
He's wearing the punk uniform.
Is he, though? Because I feel like he would get beat up just for having that beard dyed.
Yeah, that wasn't even, it just looked orange. I think he tried to do yellow.
Somebody just discovered Manic Panic, but they did it wrong. I want to bully that dude. Yeah, you don't listen to those. It's the most unpunk, ungoth thing ever. In fact, going against the grain and being against the man is punk. That's the aesthetic. But this whole, I'm going to be alternative and look like everybody else and then gatekeep, that's not what that is. That's not what it is at all. We got a lot more on the way as we roll into the second hour. Those cabinet picks, we got it and more. Stick with us. So burn a gun is an effective deterrent when all of your options are limited, not by your choice. Like, I'm always going to tell people to carry. I'm always going to tell them, you know, I have zero issue at all whatsoever using lethal force to protect myself or my loved ones. But a lot of times you are really limited where you can carry and where you cannot. And I have friends who live in D.C. and in New York, and the nature of their work requires them to be in places where they can't carry. And so one of my friends in D.C., and my one in New York just did as well. They went and got the Byrna SD. That's the most popular, best-selling model that Byrna has. Byrna, what it is it shoots. It's a defensive deterrent, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter, that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. And when you compare it to stun guns, they only have like one or two rounds. The Byrna SD has five. And there's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. And it doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. Like I said, it's a non-firearm firearm. So you don't have to give up your right of self-defense. Just diversify your options. And that's what Byrna offers. To learn more about the Byrna gun, visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off. True story. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this second hour, and it's been kind of a busy day because we already have a number of breaking stories. We got the ongoing cabinet picks as well that have been announced by the president-elect, and a lot of stuff to touch on. And there's a great piece, if you haven't gone and read it yet, over at Chapter and Verse, the newsletter of Substack, where Lorraine has all of the latest tallies, because they started coming out pretty fast and furious last night, right? Like, I think it was Pete Hegseth was the announcing him as SecDef, and then it just went from there. And by the way, the weeping and gnashing of the teeth on this is insane. They are so upset over a double Bronze Star recipient, a combat veteran, someone who got a degree from Harvard, so he checks the Ivy League box that the elites like. He understands policy. He's worked for a number of different think tanks. He knows all this. This is all stuff that he knows very well, and the left is livid because I guess they think that he's just, oh, he's on Fox. They're mad because it's Fox News. Do you know how many times people in Democrat administrations either came from media or went to media? Like George Stephanopoulos was Clinton's comms guy. That was his communications director, his strategist, his messaging strategist. So, and then you have Jay Carney. You've had one of Biden's previous spokespeople who left MSNBC to come and do. I mean, there's like all kinds of. I mean, this isn't unusual. And so Pete Hegseth announced for SecDef, and they're very upset over him. And I'm trying to figure out why they want to diminish him as just some guy on television. I mean, he was not just Harvard. He was also in Princeton. He's a veteran advocate. Veterans like him. And he's on TV. Okay. He served in Afghanistan and Iraq. And that's when he got his bronze stars. And he just seems as though, he's, you know, a nice guy. He gets it. And people will say, oh, he's so young. He's like in mid-40s. Come on. When Donald Rumsfeld first started in the same role, in a similar role, when he started working in Department of Defense, I think it was what, under Ford and then later Bush, he was what, 42, 43 years old, Rumsfeld? So we have major issues, and Department of Defense is, we need to be serious about it. I mean, Lloyd Austin, think about it. Lloyd Austin, I just get that I keep thinking of him when he was in the face mask and then he had the shield over his head. Remember that? And he was walking and inspecting a whole bunch of troops that also had face masks and shields. So, and wasn't he the one who left and didn't inform? Who was that? Was that Lloyd Austin? No.
Yeah.
Was it Lloyd Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a medical condition that he didn't even tell his staff about.
That's right.
And then finally,
he was hospitalized for 4 days, lied to Biden about it,
yep.
Didn't go to work.
Yep.
That's right. It was Lloyd Austin. He was hospitalized, you know, for like a week, really. Didn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And just allowed, you know, I mean, we had some serious stuff happening at the time. Never told anybody about it. That's a huge issue. We have a massive problem with recruitment because veterans and veteran families are telling their upcoming generations, we can't trust that you're going to be taken care of if you go serve. We have a major problem. And how old is Lloyd Austin? He's like in his 70s. Hegseth seems to be more representative of the average soldier than Lloyd Austin, because Lloyd Austin's like, no offense, but he's old. I'm not saying that to be mean, but when you're looking at the guys coming up and you're looking at a recruitment crisis and everything else, Pete Hegseth is closer to the age and the generation. Just saying. And so I think that should be considered. I was reading the story over at Politico. It says, quote, who the blank is this guy? Defense World reacts to Trump's surprise Pentagon pick. They have this unnamed veteran advocate who says that Hegseth is undoubtedly the least qualified nominee for SecDef. Are you serious? He's a decorated combat veteran. This is dumb to try to diminish it like this. He's not a pencil pusher. I hope that this means a complete removal of ROE. Let our warfighters go out and do what they got to do. Don't second guess them. Don't question them. You want a kick-ass military, go out and let them do kick-ass military stuff. That's what we pay for with tax dollars. So it is written, so it is done. Let it go. I keep seeing people, they say that there's backlash against him or something like this. And I don't know. He's getting fire for, this is what, audio soundbite 7. They're already starting to push this as a way to disqualify him. Listen to this.
I'm straight up just saying we should not have women in combat roles. It hasn't made us more effective, hasn't made us more lethal, has made fighting more complicated. We've all served with women and they're great.
Mm-hmm.
It just, our institutions don't have to incentivize that in places where not traditionally, over human history, men in those positions are more capable.
Yeah. One of my friends, Ginny Caruta, was saying, I'm a woman and a U.S. Army veteran, and he's 100% correct. We should not have women in combat roles. I said the same thing 11 years ago. It's no less true now. Absolutely. I completely agree with him. I'm not a veteran, but I am a woman. I completely agree with him. And it's amazing. I have tons of female veterans who are like, yes, no, not in combat roles, not in combat roles. One said, my assistant gunner could not carry any of my equipment. I weighed almost 750 pounds fully loaded when we marched. It's like, wow, that's insane. That is, there's a reason why. And it has nothing to do with sexism. It has everything to do with a physical ability. And the military is not a place for social experimentation. It's just not. Now, support roles are fine. Nobody's talking about that. But combat? No. Not everyone's like Lioness. I was talking to my husband actually about this a few days ago. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I pretty much watch almost everything Taylor Sheridan does exclusively. And then I watch some like documentaries and that. So my big thing is Mayor of Kingstown, which I love. Started the new episode of Yellowstone, the new season. I've been watching Tulsa King. Tulsa King this season's a little meh, but it's still good nonetheless. Sly Stallone's in it. It's still good. And started Lioness, which is in its second season. And Zoe Saldana is in this. And Nicole Kidman. And I got to tell you, before you go, oh, that sounds like Hollywood. This last season, and I don't know, I don't think Taylor Sheridan is a human. I think he's like a robotic Martian because he doesn't sleep. Because he writes all this stuff. I kid you not, there was one episode from The Lioness. It was this last episode that we watched, because I think there's three out already. It had the most conservative dialogue I've ever heard in my life. My jaw was on the floor. I could not believe how realistic it was in terms of conservative commentary. And it was Nicole Kidman and their character saying this stuff. It is wild. You would love the show. You would really like it. And it features Zoe Saldana. So it's this spec ops, kind of a gray area, so to speak, right? Where they do these very, exact, precise missions where you've got to take this guy out, or this one's about cartels this time around. And she does go with a team to bust this house where they have human trafficking operations headquartered. And, you know, she gets in firefights and that. That's not usual. And I've got a lot of veteran friends who did stuff like this. And they're like, yeah, a chick wouldn't be out here. Now, maybe she's a pilot or maybe she's doing some kind of support stuff, but she wouldn't be like out here like this in the field with the nods going and like literally engaging either firefight or hand-to-hand combat. It's not going to happen. But it's a great show nonetheless, and it doesn't ruin your suspension of disbelief to enjoy it. But my point is that women are smaller. And women who are not are the exception. They're not the rule. And these standards are set for the rule, not the exception. And they need to be upheld. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with what he is saying at all. Unless we're still going to go with this BS where we deny anatomy and physiology. We're going to it's like trans ideology 2.0, except we're going to pretend that women have the same capabilities physically as men do. I mean, I never understand this. Why in the hell are we constantly trying to define women by male standards? That's the most sexist thing I've ever heard of. Why can't we celebrate female strength by what we can accomplish on our own? There's a lot of stuff that we can do that men can't. Why do we always have to chase men? If we're trying to empower women, why do we always have to encourage women to chase men, match their standards, and use male measures to define whether or not we think a woman is strong enough to do something? Stop it. That is the most anti-woman thing ever. And that permeates this objection to him based on that soundbite. He's a great pick. The other picks that we've got coming through. We were talking about DHS. I don't get it. We also have Lee Zeldin, EPA. He's a former New York congressman. He's going to streamline the agency. You got Huckabee to go for... Israel, William Joseph McGinley, White House Counsel, John Ratcliffe, CIA Director. Totally fine with that. I think some people thought Kash Patel might be it. Lorraine says the rumor is that Kash is eyeing maybe the FBI. But Ratcliffe as CIA Director is great. No problem with that at all. My only other question, it's not so much a criticism. I think it's a question because I don't know where this goes. Is the whole Elon Musk... Vivek Ramaswamy thing where they're going to lead this Department of Government Efficiency, aka DOGE, and they have to find ways to cut government spending. Now, my question on this is, I've got I've got, I have issues because I, are they getting salaries? Is that what it is? Are they getting like, are they getting salaries for stuff? I don't know if anybody knows that. I mean, that was one of the questions that I had had. It's not going to be like an actual federal department. It's supposed to be like an outside, I guess, thing. Peter Schiff was talking about it a little bit. It's going to exist outside of the government. So the question of whether or not it's going to have authority to actually do anything is kind of up for discussion, apparently. But my thought is, I'm fine with it if they don't draw salaries, because it would feel hypocritical otherwise. Because I don't know how you would shrink government by creating more government, right? So that's why I was asking that question. I just was, I don't know. Because you know that there's not going to be a Democrat that votes in favor of eliminating anything. And the House, you have to have every Republican vote. So I'm very curious as to how this is going to work. So we'll talk more about this. But it was just announced. I mean, they can make recommendations, but I feel like the government can ignore them. So that's going to be interesting to see how this works. I mean, Congress can pass it or they won't. And this is another reason why you need somebody who understands all this stuff in Senate, and you need strong House Speaker. So life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So weird. Apparently, FEMA's staging 350 semis at a decommissioned Air Force base in Oscoda. What is this about? What do they think is going to happen here? What's happening? I don't know. Are they drying them out? Are they cleaning them out? Is there like some like reason as to why? I don't know. They said the agency fleet's going to serve Macomb, Kent. I don't know, a bunch of other places. But apparently they're saying what their people are they're trying to get some clarification from FEMA, and so far it hasn't been provided. Shocker, shocker. We need the cutting of departments sooner than later. This is so stupid. I've seen stories like this over and over again. So the latest in parents who don't want a helicopter parent and they get in trouble for it. This woman was jailed because she allowed her 10-year-old to walk alone to town. Yeah. And this has been going on since October. The police arrested Brittany Patterson. It's in Georgia. In front of three of her four children. And they put her in an orange jumpsuit. She had driven her oldest son to a medical appointment. Her 11-year-old wanted to come along, but wasn't around when it was time to leave. And he was apparently playing outside. Heaven forbid. The mother and sister live literally 2 minutes down the road. And he decided to walk downtown about a mile from his house. And people who saw him walking alongside of the road, and it's like 25-mile-per-hour speed limit, asked if he was okay. And he said yes. And this one Karen decided to call the police. And so they literally, like, the sheriff was like, well, you know, he could have been kidnapped or something. And the sheriff drove the kid home, left him with his grandfather. And then they arrested the mom. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is so stupid. And the kid was like, I'm fine. Like, I got family all around. Like, what is, man, my whole family would have been arrested a million times. What I did, I would take my three-wheeler, like one of the little miniature three-wheelers. Oh my gosh, I used to draw like a couple miles away, go out in the woods. I was gone all day. I would pack, I always pack Fig Newtons to take with me. And I'm, golly, they would have arrested everyone. That stuff is so stupid. This apparently, this poor fish got this grand $25,000 fish got poisoned with detergent after an argument with her neighbors. Is that koi pond? Is that what it is? She said she's devastated. She's considered moving because this lady had her fish poisoned by ignorant neighbors. People are just awful. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. A little Kenichi Asai. Bottom of the second hour, and the seething and coping and seething. Is there like a particular order that it has to go? Cope and seed, there's seed and cope. Feel like I need to create like a new newsletter just for that. Okay, so Andrea Mitchell, I wanted to play the soundbite for you. I dropped it in Slack. Andrea Mitchell, they're dissecting. They're going to make a big deal. They're going to make a very big deal over Pete Hegseth. That's the one they're going to go after. That is the cabinet choice they're going to try to go after. They got to try to go after one of them to save face. They're going to go after him. Now, watch this. Listen to this soundbite, because this was Andrea Mitchell putting words into his mouth in this soundbite, because she's on, this is CNN, and she's saying they're having this discussion, CNN, MSNBC, sorry. They're having this discussion and saying that Pete Hegseth doesn't want women in combat, and like acting as though he needs to apologize to people like Tammy Duckworth, and who's in the Senate. Listen to this if we have it. Go ahead and check this out.
And, you know, finally, the choice of Fox News host and military veteran Pete Hegseth as the defense secretary. He has denounced diversity, equity, and inclusion. He disagrees with women in combat. I don't know what he would say to Senator Duckworth, you know, and all the other women pilots, some of whom, like Senator Duckworth, you know, were grievously wounded in combat, but the women have been a key part of piloting these fighter jets.
He literally said that he had no problem with female pilots.
More than a decade.
He literally said, and that's what she was. She was a pilot. She had a Black Hawk that was hit by an RPG. And Tammy, talking about Tammy Duckworth, she was a Black Hawk pilot, and she got hit by an RPG. He literally said repeatedly that he had no issue with female pilots. He had no problem with female pilots. Why are they now trying to put words in his mouth and act like now he had some sort of issue with them and he's talking about, that's not what he meant. This is so stupid, but they're going to try. This is what they're going to try to do. They're going to go after him, and they think that this is going to be at least like an easy get. So that's what they're doing. I thought that Scott Jennings had it well. No one has faith in the current leadership of DOD. I mean, nobody has any faith in it, in them. Nobody. Just look at some of the stuff we've been dealing with. Look at Afghanistan, for crying out loud. Leaving Afghanistan. Look at, you have all of these issues with terrorists coming across the border, and that's going to be a DHS issue too. But you have the spy balloons and the recruitment issue, and we could go on and on. We need somebody better. Somebody that has a history of holding people accountable and themselves being accountable. Like, not like Lloyd Austin, who, as we said last segment, decided to, he went to the hospital for a week, didn't tell anybody about it. We had no idea where SecDef was. We did have a SecDef. We had no clue. No idea. So this is what they're going to try to do. They're going to go after him, and he's going to be the one that they are going to target. So this is some of the latest with us. Now, a few other things to touch on, and sorry, because we've got all these picks coming in pretty fast. And I think he announced even a couple of other ones. They got their Senate leadership. They got John Barrasso's talking right now. They had their vote for Senate leader, and who's going to be John Thune. And then they're getting their leadership position together. Langford has joined the leadership team. So they're getting all prepared, because we got a lot of confirmations coming up, and you're going to need people who know how to get those picks, those cabinet picks, into get them into office and get everything settled. And it's going to be a little, and especially now it looks like Hegseth is going to be the one that they go into. I'm looking at, because we've got, Lauren has a piece up, the latest picks. John Ratcliffe is CIA director. Really like John Ratcliffe. So Ratcliffe previously was DNI. He was the director of national intelligence under Trump back during his first term in 2016. So I like John Ratcliffe. John Ratcliffe, he's been on the show, and he was the one, if you remember, John Ratcliffe, I believe, was the individual who, and he's a former spy, he was the guy who was like blowing the whistle on all of this stuff that Democrats were trying to do to the former president where it concerned the Russian collusion thing. Wasn't it him and another? So I'm pulling up some of my notes. So he's a former Texas congressman. And I remember there was a big rush. I remember when all of this happened, and there was this push by lawmakers to get this information made public. And Ratcliffe was one of the guys who was really pushing for that. And a lot is owed to him, I believe. So this actually makes some of the most sense of any pick that he had. And remember, he went after all of those former intel officials too, back when all those intel heads, they signed that letter trying to act like, oh, this is Russian disinformation, the laptop. And he says, well, what they're saying is a lie, because there isn't any intel that supports that not happening. There's no intelligence that supports this being a Russian disinformation campaign, a Russian psyop. And so, and he was described as a fierce loyalist when he was in Congress. And so I think he's perfect for this role. This is one of the ones that I feel really, really good about. And then you have William McGinley. He's going to be White House counsel. He was the cabinet secretary, Lorraine notes, during Trump's first term. And then you have Steve Witkoff, who was a donor and a golf. He's going to be the envoy to the Middle East. And some people have been criticizing this selection as an envoy to the Middle East because he is not a diplomat and he doesn't have diplomatic experience, but he has traveled the world in business and as a real estate investor and dealing with closing deals and all kinds of stuff. And that, I think, when you're looking at diplomacy, you either have that ability, that gift, or you don't. And I think that that's going to be an asset in that role. So I'm fine with Steve Witkoff in that role. We talked about Elise Stefanik yesterday as UN ambassador. I think that's a good fit for her. Because there's always going to be people who are going to be criticizing other aspects of a lot of these selections to these roles. And the only one that I actually am not objecting to, but I'm asking why, is Kristi Noem at DHS, because it just makes zero sense. And I don't think she's got the qualifications for it. It needs to go. That's a department that Musk needs to cut. That said, I do think it's smart to look at the strengths of each of these individuals. Like, for instance, Elise Stefanik is a moderate. I don't like her fiscal policy, and there are things that I disagree with her on. However, and I don't say this as a pejorative, she's a bully. And I think that harnessing that particular strength of hers and weaponizing her at the UN is a good move. Fine with that. I don't agree with Rubio on everything at all, clearly. But I think having him as Secretary of State, and he's very anti-CCP, he's a hard-nosed against China, he's a hard-nosed against Ukraine, I think that that is that plays to his particular skill set, and weaponizing him in that role is a good move. As long as you are putting people, if we're putting people into these roles that magnifies, maximizes, and enhances their skill set that suits them to that role, I'm fine with it. And regardless of the other aspects of their overall record with which I may disagree, I think that these are good moves. If we're looking at their, you know, each of them has something that makes them well suited to these roles for which they are being proposed. I just don't get am I missing something? I just don't get her in that role. Someone said, well, maybe they asked Tom Homan and he rejected it and wanted ICE. Well, ICE falls under DHS, so that's irrelevant. Why not Tom Homan? I just don't get why not him. That's his skill set. He is literally a two-legged sentient sledgehammer. Why would you not have him as DHS head? Yeah, I did have somebody go, well, he wanted ICE. ICE is under DHS. Doesn't make sense. So I don't know. He's going to be on with us when? Tomorrow?
Friday.
He's going to be on with us Friday. And then we have, of course, the Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, which is going to exist outside of government. And the only question I have is, how is that going to work? Because they can recommend cuts. They can make recommendations for what they think needs cut, but that doesn't mean the government has to do it. The government can ignore them if they want to. And even if the administration takes those recommendations into consideration, you still have to get Congress to vote on it. Congress, I don't think, is going to vote on it. Do you see them doing that? We got a lot of rhinos in there still. I mean, Democrats definitely don't vote. That's why we need to stop pulling people from the House, for crying out loud. That was my only objection to having someone like Elise Stefanik and you have Mike Walls also, is that you're taking from the House and you're going to leave us with a narrower majority than what we have now. And think about it. That means you have to have, if Musk proposes something that needs to be cut, you have to have Congress vote on it. And we have a lot of rhinos still there. And if you can't get everyone together on the same page, then what's the purpose of it? So I don't know. Lorraine thinks, I like what she says. She thinks they're glorified auditors. I don't even know. I like Vivek Ramaswamy as a person. Do not get me wrong. I don't dislike him as a person. I've met him many times. Last time I saw him, we had dinner in Rome. And I get along with him fine. He's new to being a Republican. He made his money like with pump and dump. And he had that vax database. I don't know. Is this the best role for... I mean, if he's really good and he suggests a lot of stuff that needs cut and they end up cutting it, that's fine. But I'm wondering how this is going to work. Are they taking a salary? Because usually that money comes by way of grants, which is also taxpayer dollars. So I want to know how this works. We've got to actually see, and maybe Elon Musk, you know, finding stuff to cut, him and Ramaswamy finding stuff to cut, and they put it on X and they pressure people through X. Maybe that's, you know, I don't know. Maybe that could happen. We'll see. So we have a lot of stuff to hit. We have Florida Man on the way. And you know, we don't want to miss Florida Man. Staying as part of the day sometimes. Our partners for this portion of our program. It's our friends over at Caltech, the P15. The name of the P15 stands for 15 pews. It is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market, and it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is a striker fire pistol, great smooth trigger, and it comes in two versions. So you have your metal version, metal frame version, and your polymer version. The metal frame, you have the walnut wood grip panels on it. It's gorgeous. So you have the polymer version, which has the gator grip texture. And it comes with two standard capacity magazines. One is a standard 15-round minimal pinky extension. The other is a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12. And that's for if you want even more concealability. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic two-dot rear. Lifetime warranty. And again, it's from Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. It's the P15. Learn more about it at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Jeez. This is crazy. So a Florida man is mad. He got kicked out of a strip club, and then right after he was kicked out of the strip club, he decided to drive his semi-truck into it, and he killed one and injured more. It's 4:19 in the morning, and when police arrived, they said this guy had been kicked out of the club, and then he returned and drove his semi-truck, like, legit right into the group of people standing outside of the entrance. The driver was 25. He'd been waiting outside the club in his car for 30 minutes. There was a guy inside that he had been arguing with, so he was waiting for this guy to leave. And as I guess the guy was leaving, that's when he just ran into him. The driver's hospitalized in critical but stable condition. They're going to bring charges against him, but good night. Like, he drove a semi into a strip club, and he was fighting with a guy inside. It's 4 in the morning, okay? You know, maybe, like, stop watching the ladies shake their ass and go home and sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe go home and go to bed. It's 4:19 in the morning. Go to bed. Just saying. Good night. I got a villager here. A villager.
What? The villager?
Yeah. The villages. It's like I feel like I'm talking about Minecraft whenever we have a villager story. A villager who runs a home watch service was arrested at Publix because he was shoplifting. His name is Barry Buskey. He's 79. He tried to leave with almost $100, $99.55 worth of unpaid merchandise and at a Publix. And at Sumter County Sheriff's Office, he got stopped and they arrested him. The assistant manager stopped him and he apologized and offered to pay for the items. And then the Publix representative said that they want to see him posted there or prosecuted for theft. He runs this home watch service. He literally keeps an eye on people's houses. That's what he does. He said he keeps an eye on neighbors' houses when they're away and they pay him. That's what they do. So he like, it's a kind of like a neighborhood watch, but it's home watch. And that's not going to help your business, my dude. $99. You decided to wreck your whole life for $99.55. Dude. So he's was booked in Sumner County Detention Center. He had to post a $150 bond, and I don't even know how that's going to work. I don't know how that's going to work with his business. I don't. I have one more villager story. Oh, the villages. An 82-year-old villager on a bicycle was attacked by an angry dog walker. So it was an 82-year-old who was fighting with a 72-year-old. And the 72-year-old faces a charge of felony battery. The older man was riding his bike. He passed the dog walker. And then the dog walker shouted at the bicyclist to get a horn. And then he began cussing at the bicyclist, who cussed back. And then they ended up, he noticed the dogs in the front yard, the bicyclist did. And he called the police afterwards. And then the dog walker threatened to rip him off the bike and beat him up. And he did actually grab him because the guy was on his property. So he did grab him and march him off. But they were fighting. Bicyclists are jerks. I'm sorry. They are. Stick with us. They are. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. Compiling some notes for the newsletter tomorrow, too. So I'm putting that all out there. But we are We're at the top of this third hour. This has gone by really quickly today. There's been a lot of stuff happening. You guys don't see it, but I have my giant, big giant computer monitor here, 4.5 foot wide. And there's a lot of names that are coming in. I can't imagine having to get your cabinet together that quick. Like, me getting a grocery list together in like under 30 minutes is difficult sometimes. I can't even imagine like all these people to be the heads of, you know, government officials and all this. So welcome back. You can listen coast to coast. Don't forget channel 347 DirecTV, also on, we're also on X and everywhere else. So, and then my computer, hang on, just shut down. So anyway, we are following all of this, and I had a list of names, that, but I got to get my computer back up and running. We had a list of names, for all of the cabinet picks that we have. And we're going to get into all of that. And of course, some of the other drama that we have as well that we're following. So we're going to get into all of that, get the list of it. We got Pete Hegseth that's getting like all of the, he's getting all the drama for being nominated for Secretary of Defense. And it just boggles my mind that he's so qualified. He's got, Bronze Star, double Bronze Star, combat veteran, et cetera, et cetera. He's got the big fancy degree from Princeton and Harvard. But I keep seeing they're just piling on social media, like piling on. Out of all of the cabinet picks, I think that is the one that I feel like, don't you feel like too, Kane, that's the one they're going to really try to go after? Is that, which I still think he's going to get confirmed and it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that this is a situation where the public has made clear through their vote what they want, and it isn't the status quo.
Yeah.
And the left is pushing for the status quo.
So these are all good. There is, let's see, some of the other, because we have Mike Waltz, we've got Ratcliffe. They're talking about DNI. I've only had one objection, one concern, and a question about all of the selections thus far. And the first objection when he was pushing for Department of Homeland Security, I didn't understand why Tom Homan couldn't be Department of Homeland Security, why it's Kristi Noem, because I just don't think that she has the skill set to do it. And she's a real moderate. We talked about this before. The only reason she didn't shut down her state was because the more Republican legislature stopped her. She had some pro-trans policies. There was a lot of stuff there. And the Federalist, which is a super pro-Trump site, actually, I think is the most vociferous objector to Kristi Noem and anything. But I don't know. I just don't know what skill set, because everything else, I think they're very suited to their roles. So I didn't understand that one. My only concern about Elise Stefanik and Mike Waltz being selected for their positions is that they're in the House, and I'm worried about reducing the margin, our majority margin in the House. It's really close already. And if we keep picking people out of the House, we're going to end up with a narrower majority than what we even have now. So I've got some concern for that. But I think that otherwise they're very well suited, I think, for the positions that they have been proposed. Then there is the DOGE thing, the Department of Government Efficiency. They already have their X account. It's already up. They've been following some interesting people on social media that literally make lists of the government waste. And Rand Paul, I just retweeted one of his. He has a whole waste report where he lists all this stuff out. And I don't know how they're going to operate. I had said, well, I hope they're not going to take a salary, because that would be kind of hypocritical. I don't think that they would. They don't need it. But here's why I don't know how this is going to work. They're not a government entity. They're outside of that. And if they propose something even if the government is free to just like reject their recommendations. So if they recommend something, then POTUS has to accept it. And even if POTUS wants it, Congress has to pass it. And then this gets back into like my concern that I had with reducing the narrow margin of our majority in the House. You don't want to do that because you need to get this kind of stuff passed. So that's kind of my question, I guess, as to how that was going to go. And Lorraine was saying that, well, it sounds like it's sort of like a glorified auditor in a way. I just hope it's effective. Now, we've got Scavino, who is assistant to the president, Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, who's assistant to the president, Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy and Homeland Security Advisor. You got James Blair, assistant to the president, Deputy Chief of Staff for Legislative, Political, Public Affairs. Taylor Butterwich, who's assistant to the president, and Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications and Personnel. So a lot of stuff, it's coming in pretty quickly, all of these proposals. So they're going to be busy getting all, you got to get a lot done, like really quickly. They also have the Senate leadership team that they have been announcing, and they have been this, they got, who do they have? I think Joni Ernst is up there as well. You have Linkford. So they got their Senate leadership team all together. So it's coming together pretty quickly. So just this looks like it's all taking shape. And hopefully we'll start seeing some, like, I want to see all this stuff happen immediately. I said before, I want Trump to walk in like Jack Nicholson from Batman with the whole cane and everything and start cutting government. Like when they walked into that museum and he was going to go have dinner with Kim Basinger, Jack Nicholson from Batman. And he walks in and they have a boombox and he's like, you know, it's a Prince song that Prince, because Prince was dating Kim Basinger at the time and he had that music in there. I'm totally fine with that. Go in there and cut everything. I just want there to be a big spectacle of it. That's what I want. So do you feel pretty good about his pick so far, Kane? Or is there any that you object to? Or am I being like too harsh?
No, I think it's fair to question the Kristi Noem one. Like, I don't know about that one. The DNI one with Tulsi Gabbard.
The other one. Yeah.
That one, I don't, you know.
She's being floated for it. They said she hasn't been.
Look, I'm not against it. I'm not against this non-status quo approach to government. And I'm excited to see the changes.
But.
There's no but.
I don't know.
No,
it sounded like there wasn't there.
Does it sound like I had a butt?
It sounded like I was. I don't know what would she do at DNI? Like, what is her particular? She's in the military, but this is Director of National Intelligence, so I just don't know.
Yeah, I would think that job entails 90% of it is classification of information and documents and actions. Like, that is what I believe most of it is. But again, like I said, we'll see. She may have some certain qualifications I'm unaware of, and I'm willing to hear about it. But
so it's the head of the U.S. intel community, and you advise the president. You work with NSC. You work with HSC, Homeland Security. Right. You have agencies that fall underneath that. So you have Department of Energy, of Intelligence and Counterintelligence, the Homeland Security's Office of Intelligence and Analysis, U.S. Coast Guard Intelligence. So there's in terms of national security, there's a lot of things that fall under their purview. And the NSA has a lot of capabilities that I don't even know if the CIA has. So I just have.
I like the conversation about transparency that we haven't gotten. We, like, Democrats talked about it in 2020. Oh, we're going to be the most transparent. We're going to be the most unifying. And all of this, they talked about it. Of course, they delivered exactly opposite of that. I'm looking forward to, let's say, for example, Tulsi does get in there and there is a transparency that we have never seen before with government on that scale. I'm interested to see how that all plays out with national intelligence. I think that's...
I'm curious as to, because I know a lot of people thought her defending of Bashar al-Assad was a little weird. Yeah. That's because I'm all about welcoming people into the circle, so to speak, but when they are very brand new, right-leaning people, and they still have a few left-leaning tendencies, I want to ask questions.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
She's never come on the show before. We've invited her, and they have declined every time. She will not come on. So I can't ask her about gun rights or anything because she refuses to. And I'm not mean. Like, I don't have anything against her. I just would like some clarification and would like to have a conversation. So I don't know. Because of that, I get weird feelings about this. So I hope that they actually, I don't know that I'm all in on this pick. I can't, and I'm not misrepresenting them. They've refused to come on the program.
I don't think there's ever been an administration where I was 100% in on every one of the picks.
Yeah, but
it's
like,
it's just not been that, ever.
People that you know who don't really like you in positions where they can spy on you is weird.
Yeah. I would think that Trump has learned a lot in his first 4 years as to where, what fake loyalty looks like.
Well, there's a difference between submission and loyalty.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he has a better idea of what that is now than he did before in government. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a couple of things. This is NBC. Pulling this up. It's very small. So, it says more women are seeking testosterone therapy prompted by influencers. What? They said that it's telemedicine and, I guess, testosterone replacement clinics. Prescriptions have increased 50%. And one doctor said it's almost like it's an epidemic. They're being told that it's a miracle pill. And they said that, what are they talking about with it? Like menopausal women to get like fit?
They're trying to answer the low libido in women as well.
So they're using it like a female Viagra.
Yeah, kind of.
That's kind of weird. Okay, well, apparently lots of people taking it. Yellowstone, first episode without Kevin Costner, reached over 13 million viewers. It actually was a really good first episode. Now, remember, he left the series, and I don't think it was totally amicable either. Immediately right off the bat, it was a really good first episode. And Rip and Beth are my favorites. But Casey, man, he's coming right up in there. Casey's coming into his own. It's really good. So it's a 13 million. We were talking about this, last hour. I don't think that Taylor Sheridan sleeps. I really don't. So interesting. This U.S. judge has blocked Louisiana from requiring 10 commandments in the classroom. Some of them are actual laws. But they're battling over that still. New York City is we talked about the New York City and the autopsies. That's old. I was going to have this in Florida, man, but I'm doing it now. Disneyland fans are very mad because it's that Tiana's Bayou Adventure ride. It's like the log flume in a way. But they say that the new water ride is too wet. It's moist, Kane. It's a moist ride. They said that the Tiana's Bayou Adventure, that it comes with a warning that says you may get wet. But people who say that they're used to Splash Mountain, they said that they weren't used to it like that much. And it was Splash Mountain, but they said that they didn't enjoy it. It was an unimpressive and underwhelming ride. It looks like the log flume. I'm not going to lie. From Six Flags, like where you literally just get into a plastic log and they take you down a hill. Remember that? Why did I love that so much as a kid? Yay!
It was a water ride. We expected
there was never
to get
a
wet.
Line at the log flume at Six Flags, right?
They were running so many, and it was so often, and the ride was short.
It was so a short great. Ride, yeah. And you literally got on, and like within a second, you're already down the thing. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I could talk about like amusement park rides for forever, they said that but they don't like it because their people are getting absolutely soaked, and they have warnings up. And people are on social media going, if we wanted to go to a water park, we would have done it. Our shoes and our bodies were soaked. We didn't have a complete change of... Oh my gosh, shut up. You knew it was going to be a water ride. It is literally the log flume. It's the log flume, but they put a frog on it. It's the log flume. That's a ripoff. That's a ripoff. I'm going to get mad over this because that's like so lame. Like, that's just the, if you want the log flume, go to the log flume. I don't know. A few other things here. The, let's see. I had this from last hour that I didn't get to. The White Stripes have dropped their lawsuit against Trump. Remember, they were trying to sue him to stop his campaign from using the Seven Nation Army thing, but they had to drop it because it was like fruitless. When you license your music out for public performances, then guess what? They can be played in public because you licensed it out. So they were not going to win this no matter what. And in Texas, Texas and Florida armed citizens are two different instances. Home invaders, they met law-abiding gun owners who defended their homes just within the past week. Gun Save Lives. Stay with us.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. The ABC just had the report. Oh, breaking. Republicans will retain control of the House. We knew this. We knew this. I knew this election night. We knew it. What in the world? Come on now. This is goofy. We knew it. We knew that they were going to keep it. This is not, but I guess they weren't able to come up with the votes they wanted. I don't know. But it's going to be 208 to 218. And we need to not be taking any more out of the House because we got to get a lot of stuff passed into this. So 218, they're hitting that threshold with House Republicans, and we got 52 seats in the Senate that we won, 218 threshold in the House. So, I mean, that's all good. We knew that was going to happen. So House, Senate, and the White House. And in the meantime, the left is not happy. Audio soundbite 23. James Carville is, well, he's going off on everybody in his party. Listen to this.
And tell all the people that are sending you and asking you for money, justify what you did, justify what you did wrong, and tell us what you're going to do different. Because what you've done ain't worth.
Ooh.
All right? Get your head around that.
Oof.
And all of the Washington-based Democrats farting around, going to wine and cheese parties and talking about how misogynistic race comes, get your ass out of Washington and go work on a 2026 campaign and do penance to Oof. Make up for your damn arrogance and stupidity.
Ooh. Wow. Well, he's upset. Yeah, don't sugarcoat it. He's super mad. Well, I will say he's realistic and he's practical about stuff. He was warning them about it. He was warning them. He was saying, look, you guys got to stop talking about identity politics. You got to stop hammering this stuff. You need to talk to people about what's bothering them. They can't afford, you know, basic necessities. And you're talking to them about all of this, you know, the pronouns and all of this is stupid. I mean, they're losing their minds, and they're also trying to figure out how to blunt X. So The Guardian posted that they're no longer posting on X. Kane, did you notice that? Did you know that The Guardian is not posting? They said, quote, we will stop posting from our official editorial accounts on the platform, but X users can still share our articles. We don't want to. They I've never seen anything so self-aggrandizing. If you have to tell people that you're leaving, then they don't care.
It's not an airport.
Yeah, it's not an airport. Just go. You don't need to announce like your departure. Just go. They said, we wanted to let our readers know that we will no longer post on any official Guardian editorial accounts on the social media site X. We think that the benefits of being on X are now outweighed by the negatives and that resources could be better used promoting our journalism elsewhere. Yo, you have journalism? You're a left-wing rag. You have journalism? Really? They said, this is something we've been considering for a while, given the often disturbing content promoted or found on the platform, including far-right conspiracy theories and racism.
Really?
Oh, but don't forget, X users can still share our articles. No, we don't want to. I've never shared a Guardian article, except like me talking about this one right now. Just never have. I think it's a funny that, but you know what? They don't have a problem posting to the Chinese version of Twitter. They're posting on that still. So The Guardian doesn't want to post on X because they mad, but they're going to post on the CCP's version of X. That's okay for them. Just feels like that's some BS, Kane. I guess gotta say it feels like it's.
I think they saw the demand for truth on X and realized they couldn't meet that demand.
I've noticed a little bit of a change in my engagement lately, too. I think that they're pulling more and more of the algorithmic suppression off of me because there's so much of it. I think if you say like one word and then you have another word that's in a whole other layer of algorithmic suppression and then there's a whole other layer, it's like an onion. It just keeps going. There's so much that they have to. I've noticed a little bit of a difference in the past couple of weeks. So that's kind of, we'll see. But why, I mean, the last thing that you do is take your ball and go home. That's just dumb. Why take your ball and go home? Why? Doesn't make any sense. But that's okay if they want to do that. That's all right. That's okay. Go ahead and have it like that. That's all right. We'll accept it. I mean, I don't think it bothers me anyway. Don Lemon said he's leaving X. Nobody cares. Again, it's not an airport. He did a whole video where he's looking into the camera. I'm leaving X. Nobody cares. If you have to tell people, we don't care. NATO is very upset over X. Audio soundbite 21. This is one of the NATO military chiefs. Listen to this.
I think the use of social media is basically amplifying everything that is being done by bot factories. And I'm very much in favor of freedom of speech.
No, you're not.
But I'm not necessarily convinced that what Mr. Musk is doing on X is the right approach. I'm very much in favor of freedom of speech, but there is a lot of things on Twitter that is
so
not
this
helping
is
our
the
society.
New NATO military head, Rob Bauer, and he's a Dutch NATO pencil pusher who wants American businesses to engage in censorship. What? I don't give a rat's ass what some Dutch bureaucrat thinks of what we can or can't do in the United States with our businesses, especially a pencil pusher with NATO. I said it because he is. So, oh yes, Kane, you're typing. What is it? What are you saying, dear? What are you saying over there?
They know they can't stay in power unless they control the narratives.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. I mean, when I hear a guy like this Dutch bureaucrat, when I hear this War Inc. Dutch bureaucrat go off about and promote censorship on our social media, no. And this is, why do we fund this again? He can call himself the NATO chief because we allow it with our tax dollars. That's one of the things I think that's going to change coming up, because there's some people saying, yeah, we just need to stop. Because NATO, I mean, are they even meeting their GDP requirement? Can you please pay at least 3-6% of your GDP for your own self-defense? I mean, it's for your benefit, not ours. And then they also, audio somebody 22, then they wonder why governments spy on them. Listen to this.
And again, it's the me and the we discussion. Everybody says, it's my privacy. Now, everybody has given away everything to the tech companies in the US by saying yes, 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 when you wanted the app of Google and everything. If the government says, can I see your phone for 10 seconds, there's a revolution. But we've given away everything already. So it's a ridiculous discussion on privacy.
It's a ridiculous analogy. Oh, because you use this, that means you're giving the government permission to come and take all your, you know, Apple never like listened to their credit. They never like gave up. They never allowed the feds like to access their, like to basically break into phones and that. I don't know. That's a dumb argument. Well, because you give your permission for the apps, then that means you let the government, it's the same thing, Kane. It's the same thing, you know, the businesses with the governments. It's all the same thing. It's not, though. It's actually quite different. That's so dumb. But this, You wonder why people don't trust governments, and you wonder why people are critical of NATO leadership, and that's probably why. That's probably why. We've had Trump and Biden meeting today. They've been discussing the peaceful transfer of power. Can I play? Because Peter Ducey asked if it was awkward. Listen to this. Audio sum by five. KJP did not like the question.
And we know that today, a week after the election, President Biden and Vice President Harris had a private lunch. How awkward was that?
I don't even understand. Why would it be awkward?
Because the president got squeezed out for her, and then she kept him at arm's length, and then she lost, and now she's back.
Why would you characterize it as awkward? They have regular lunches. They meet and talk regularly. Why would you call it awkward?
So there's no weirdness about the way that things have unfolded since
July 21st. Did you see them together yesterday as well when they honored our veterans and were together during the day, making sure that we didn't forget the brave men and women that fought for this country?
I am going to miss this. I feel like Peter Venkman. I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss you too. I'm going to miss this. I mean, Peter Ducey's going to be there, but she won't. I'm going to miss those questions. She just looks at him like you would look at one of your kids that's the smart aleck one before he opens his mouth and says something. Here's a genuine question. It was awkward, right? Didn't Biden look happier, though? I felt like Biden, some of this is a big giant. I feel like it's a finger in the air to Kamala Harris in a way, right? Oh, yeah. It really does feel that way. I'm going to miss her saying words like the Nord Stream pipeline. I'm going to miss her saying emeritus when she means emeritus. Emeritus, is that what it was? Yeah. I'm going to miss that. Going to miss tyranny. You know, going to miss all that. So just saying. It just, you know, seems like, I don't know. Audio sum by 24, they were back in the office together, and Biden's smile was like almost off of his actual face. You got to watch this.
Mr. President-elect and the former president,
thank you,
Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having, like we said, a smooth transition. Do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, what you need. And we're going to get a chance to talk about some of that today. So,
good.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. And politics is tough, and it's in many cases not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate it very much. And a transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get, and I very much appreciate it.
What did you say? Yeah, it's like a blast furnace, isn't it? Yeah, right? What, are they going to melt something in there? What's
like
going to happen?
Jet engine on idle.
Jeez. I mean, let's put another 1 million logs in there, why don't we? This is a little crazy. You can hear it. Everybody's been talking about this fire now. When I saw this live, I was like, what noise is that? Is that room tone? No, it's their ridiculous like blast furnace that's right there, all the fire. What are they going to put in there? Good night. Kamala's political future. That's what's going to go in that fire. Yeah, because what is she going to do now?
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I just think it's ridiculous that they're like, oh, guess what? Republicans won the house. We knew that they won the house. Dude, I knew this. Election night, I knew that they won the house. Who is you? Stop. Well, we know who it is. It's like CNN and I think what the ABCs and all this stuff. That's so goofy. So I just think it's a little fascinating here. I was watching like the reaction. They're like, well, I guess it's official now. Yes, it is. It's been official this entire time. You guys just didn't want it to be a reality. So you drug it out and it still happened. Good heavens. So I noticed too, they had Oilfield Rando, which is an account that I follows me, looks at government waste and spending, and Doge followed them. It's kind of interesting. I love the government waste X accounts, but I also don't like them because they infuriate me. Right. Because you get to see like how much your money's going to waste.
Truth hurts sometimes.
Yeah. Barbara Comstock, who is like she used to be involved in politics. She's got a Ukrainian flag in her bio. She said that, look, Virginia, talking about DOGE, wants to cut federal spending by like 75%. Those are your jobs that Trump's eliminating. Wow, they're going to cut 75% of government jobs.
Yes.
Get me more excited about this administration. I mean, they're already elected. You know, I mean, I can't vote for them again. Stop.
Can it be 85%?
I mean, right? They act like that's a bad thing. Because they're going to cut government, but they want to cut the federal government by 75%. Those are your jobs, government. Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It's our money.
Yeah, it's our money. I mean, I can't be. Should I troll her? I feel like I should.
Yeah.
I feel like when you say something that dumb,
yeah,
it's like you're saying, please, Dana, troll me.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. How is this a bad thing? What's the last thing that Barbara Comstock ever did? Why? How are you that upset over it? Yeah, she works in politics or something. Oh my gosh, they're going to cut 75%. They're going crazy about this on MSNBC. They're going to cut 75% of the jobs. Government's going to get smaller. That means we're going to lose out on the public's money.
I'm already sold. Stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you know, stop, Barbara. You don't have to make me more excited.
Stop selling me.
Yeah, stop selling me, Barbara. I'm going to just say that. Stop selling me, Barbara. These people deserve it. This is so stupid. Like, that's a bad thing. Stop it. We want the government to be smaller.
And speaking of stupid, look what time it is.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. Today in stupidity.
Look what time
yes,
it
Kane.
Is.
All right, so the stupidity is rampant, and it's usually on the left, which is really weird. It's probably just a coincidence. You'll be hearing in the next several days and weeks how Democrats want Republicans to be bipartisan and work together. But if given the chance, and them in power, they've proven it over the past 4 years, this is what they would do. Cut to Juan. This is Jayapal talking about
it. I don't think it's in opposition at all. I think, obviously, would I be, you know, am I championing getting rid of the filibuster now when the Senate has the trifecta? No. But had we had the trifecta, I would have been, because we have to show that government can deliver.
Oh.
And right now, even with people going to the ballot.
So clearly it's a standard of whether they're in power or not in power. It's not about the job and the duty to the American
people.
Exactly.
As we said, it's not that they oppose filibuster and all this stuff. It's that they only oppose it when they're not in charge.
Yeah.
How so? Is that a principle? I feel like that meme. Is this a principle? I don't know. All right, folks. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.